God came into this world through Christ Jesus, not in order to condemn the world. John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us about God's expression of love, which is open to all mankind. God sent his only Son to die for us in the cross. It is an expression of unprecedented love, but it is an impression of love that is enabled only for those who recognize it, accept it, and receive it. It is open for everyone. Sadly, not everyone wants it. Today, many have hardened their heart and have turned their back to God. Some think that God is condemning the world based on what we see every day. Nevertheless, they fail to understand, or we do not understand, or we do not realize that what we are living today, it is not God's judgment, because, my beloved friends, the Bible talks about God's judgment, and it is going to be dreadful, because it will have no mercy. Mercy is being shown nowadays by means of each situation that life puts in front of us. Not as a judgment, believe me, mankind would not be able to endure God's judgment. Rather, we are currently living the consequences of our own acts. Nature gives back what man planted in it: sin, wickedness, destruction. Everything we planted, we will receive. Not only the sin that is being manifested, which we see with our own eyes, but also the sin that rests in the heart of man is producing consequences. So, the order is given. The wages of sin is death. John chapter 3 verse 17 continues explaining that God did not come to condemn the world. In the contrary, he came to give us hope, the solution, the power, so that we remember what we were created for and awaken within that free will, the need to return to God and be saved from his wrath. Be saved from the judgment which will come. Many believe we will be saved from Satan, but in reality, God wants to save us from himself, because he knows what kind of judgment is coming for those who reject his son's sacrifice and have not turned their eyes to him. Please understand that there is hope right now, so stop criticizing it. But in the end, he who hardens his heart will condemn himself. The word says that God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but for the world to be saved by him. Nevertheless, the world has condemned itself, because condemning yourself is to infringe the law. To sin is to infringe the law. To agree with the infraction that I committed. There is no longer pain felt for infringing the law. Rather, we are in agreement with it, and we continue doing it over and over again, to the point that we harden our heart and we separate ourselves completely from God. Let me put it to you this way. When we are driving, we know we cannot keep going if we have a red light. The red light indicates we must stop. Yet, we ignore that law and pass the traffic light in red, risking having an accident that could affect us and others. we made the wrong decision. We know it's not the correct one. We know it's not the right thing to do. But we move forward. We keep going like fools, expecting sudden destruction, and then tell God, why is this happening to me? Or why didn't you watch over me? Although we knew that God put signs on the road so we could read them and know we must be careful, but we break the law instead, and then we want to be acquitted. But we condemned ourselves. If you stop in the red light and go in the green light, no one will stop you. You fulfilled the law. It is okay. But if you recognize your sin and you continue doing it, you violated the law. And you understood that consequences could arrive. And they did. So the world itself condemned itself because it did not recognize God, because it covered up its sin, because it has liked darkness better than the light, as his deeds are bad. When we cover up our sin, we agree with it and we let it go. This happens in every area of our life. Within our family, we let go of what we know is not right, and we ask God for blessings. But at the same time, we understand that this sin is cutting off the blessings. How can you ask God something when you know you have to make up your mind and get rid of the sin, which you know is wrong? You covered it up. You got used to it, and you kept it in your heart, bringing a sudden curse, bringing condemnation to your life, bringing curses to your life and to your loved ones, bringing a heavy burden, stagnation, and illness. All of these arrives because you covered up sin. Consequently, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, a simple but profound verse, the Lord tells us, he who covers up his sin will not prosper. But today I want to talk to you about how good and wonderful it is to confess our sin and separate oneself from it. Because Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 continues saying, but he who confesses it and separates himself from it will receive mercy. It does not say that he will not be judged. Listen to me well. It does not say that he who confesses his sin will have the consequences completely erased. What gets erased, listen to me well, what God erases is the guilt of that sin, because the Lord forgives us. But it does not include that you will not have to confront the consequences that will arrive, because it is part of the lesson. Nevertheless, the Lord is so good. It says that he who confesses his sin and separates himself from it will receive mercy. This mercy does not mean that consequences will not arrive. This mercy means that when the consequences arrive, God will be there to strengthen you, to encourage you, to help you, to guide you and raise you up with major glory in victory, making everything new, restoring all things. The worst thing you can believe is the enemy's lie, who tells you that if you confess, everything will come crashing down and be damaged. That if you confess, there will be no hope. That if you confess, you will be condemned. God tells you completely the opposite. He who confesses his sin and separates himself from it will receive mercy. But what do you receive first? You receive forgiveness. You free yourself from that guilt, from that burden called guilt, which prevents you from enjoying your daily life, which robs you of your joy, which robs you of your happiness. Do you know that David covered up his sin? But when he cried out to God for mercy and asked for forgiveness, the first thing David said to God was, "Give me back the joy of my salvation." It is incredible, but one of the things we lose when we commit a sin and we cover it up is our joy. Consequently, since God is our strength, we lose our strength. We waste away. Our face changes. You can analyze the face of someone who has God in his heart, who has been forgiven. And you can look at the face of someone who carries guilt, who is covering up his sin and has not asked for forgiveness. His face reflects bitterness. His eyes look dim. His countenance looks destroyed, as if the person were absorbed by guilt, as if us is absorbed by sin. Looks like his life is gone from him. He lives day by day just to live. He looks emaciated. I have seen this in people. It pains my heart. I have seen people who have learned about God and their life has been changed, but they did not surrender their life totally to God. They did not confess their sin. They had the opportunity to do so many times, but they kept it inside. They believed Satan's lies, and they poisoned themselves inside. My beloved friends, a covered up sin is like a cancer, not discovered in time, because once it has spread all over the body, the only prognosis they will give you is how many days or months of life you have left, a condemnation that has no turning back. Sin is just like this when we cover it up and do not confess it. I have seen these individuals who are children of God, but they chose not to confess their sin. They were like the prodigal son, but now when you look at their face, their gaze is lost. They are sick. They look emaciated. Weary of life, without hope. Their smile is not the same. They smile, and you notice in their mouth that it is difficult for them. There is tension in their mouth because they know it is a fake smile, because inside they feel pain and burning in their heart that prevents them from living well. What it is awful is that they consider there is no longer an opportunity, that God will not love them, that if they draw close to God, they will be hypocrites, lies which they already have given way to and believed. Today, by means of this audio, Please don't turn it off. I want to remind you there still is hope. A happy heart beautifies the face, but when the heart is covered up with sin, when we do not confess it, our face changes. But today, your face can be beautified again. Today, the Lord can forgive your sin and transform your heart. But you need two things. Confess it in front of God. Do not hide anything. And second, stay away from this sin. I have had cases where people come to me for counseling and say, "Pastor, I am committing adultery, but I can't leave my lover." Well, it does not do any good to confess if you do not have in your heart the desire to recognize that what you are doing is not right, even though you like it. It is not right before God. Consequently, you are condemning yourself and you are bringing curses in your life and to your family as well. You must confess, but you must stay away from this sin also. Time and time again throughout the Bible, you see the attitude of people who confess their sin, but they end up doing it again and again because they do not stay away from this sin. Perhaps you say that you do not have the strength, but that is where trusting in the Lord lies. When you confess from the heart and surrender yourself to God, He gives you the strength so you will not commit this sin again, because you are no longer relying on your own strength. You cannot do it. God will do it for you. But you are the one who makes the decision to surrender your life to His government, and once in His government, you accept His will and do what He asks you to do. Then all of His support will come. So, if I confess this sin and stay away from it, Will I obtain mercy? Yes, I will be forgiven. Yes, my life will change. Yes, the consequences will arrive. Yes, but it is here where you will know God's mercy. When you confessed, everything came tumbling down, but the Lord will always sustain you to lift you up again. I want to end with the story of that woman who was found in adultery and was taken in front of Jesus. Everybody was holding a stone in their hand to condemn her, to stone her, as the law said to do. They were doing what the law said. Yes, the death penalty. Nevertheless, Jesus confronts them and says to them, "If you are free from sin, then throw your stones. You have all the right to stone her." In other words, remember that you are sinners too. And if you are going to stone this woman, remember that there will be someone who will stone you, because you are also sinners. You transgressed the law. You found this woman engaged in sin, but you have kept sin in your heart, which is much worse. What comes out into the light will be condemned, but there is mercy. But what it is concealed in your heart, and it is kept there so as not to be transparent and show everyone that you are holy, stays inside your heart, rotting it away with sin. Yes, it is just like this. It is a certain condemnation, and the pain it generates is stronger than having stones thrown at you, hurting your body. It is the pain of the wrath of God in the heart of man, my beloved brothers, sisters, and friends. So all of them let go of their stones and walked away. When sin comes out into the light, it is awesome. When sin comes out into the light, God's mercy also comes out into the light. So you will not be condemned. And this woman was not condemned. She was forgiven. However, Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." He said to her, "Go and don't do it again. Don't let it happen again." This generates true repentance. I do not do it again, and I trust that the Lord will sustain me so it will not happen again. I fill myself up with His presence, and as long as I hold on to God, He will not let go of me, so it will not happen again. Nevertheless, I imagine that when that woman returned home, she was singled out. Some did no longer talk to her. Perhaps her family stayed away from her. She lost credibility. She had to start from zero. But here, God's mercy manifests itself, my beloved friends. The consequences did not go away. They remain there. But God is faithful and just to lift us up again. At the end, you decide. Father, I pray for each person who receives this word. I pray, Lord, so that hard hearts turn into hearts of flesh, so they will not keep resentment, guilt, and pain anymore. May all today take time to confess their sins and cry out to you, because only in you there is forgiveness. Only in you there is salvation. Only in you there is life. Surround them in such a manner, in the name of Jesus, so they will not fall again. And if they have to confront consequences, give them the strength to do it. And in the midst of everything, may everything that was meant for destruction become life and blessing. Only you can do it. And it is here where we see your mercy, in your love and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen. This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He sends you blessings.